Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Well, I remember the first time I ever thought about God. I was very little. I was probably about 6 years old, and I was sitting on a beach. And I remember specifically sitting on the beach and my hand going through the sand. And I just thought, oh my goodness, look how much sand is here. And I could see on both sides that it just kept on going. And then I looked at the water, and I was just overwhelmed. And I was only probably about 5 or 6, I believe. I was tiny. I was small. And I saw those powerful waves come down, and I kept on looking way out, and I just saw the water, that it kept on going, and that the sky was so blue, and the sky just kept on going. And I thought, oh, who could have made this? And in that moment, I felt the presence of the Lord. I didn't know him at all. I had no idea who this person was, who this God was. I just knew that he wanted me to know him. And so I believe that that's one of the ways that God brings us to himself step by step. Another way was the way Peter came. Peter, of course, was a Jew, and he was brought up right from the start. From the time he was born, he went through all the rituals. He was dedicated. He was circumcised. He heard about God all through his life. I didn't even have a name, God, at that point. But he knew right from the start, right from a very young age, that there was this God that their life was foundational around. And as he grew up, he knew that he would spend time in the synagogue, that was part of it, that he would say certain prayers at certain times as well. He memorized scripture to know it from heart. And he had read all the prophets that told them that soon would come a Messiah. And so at a time when he was growing and becoming a man, everybody spoke of this Messiah that was coming, that God was going to send. And so this is where we see Peter as Jesus calls him out. Jesus calls him to follow him. He calls him to say, come, be a life giver. Come and give your life to me. All you have to do is follow. And when you follow, you're a life giver. So Peter followed without hesitation. He followed. And he followed him for 3 years. And during that time, he saw amazing things, just as we do when we start following Christ. You know, as he followed him, he saw Jesus heal the sick. He saw him give sight to the blind. He watched as he allowed the deaf to hear, and he restored life to the demon-possessed. You know, Jesus didn't need to touch someone to heal him. He could just speak the word. He didn't have to see him. He just said, go. They've been healed. He could heal them quickly, or he could heal them over a period of time. He had all this power, and Peter was a witness of Jesus doing these things. Peter saw Jesus feed thousands of people with a little boy's lunch. He saw Jesus control nature as he calmed the storm and let Peter walk on water. It's just amazing to me as I sat on that beach and just imagining that Jesus walking on water and then someone else being allowed to because of his power. Remember, God's power is what allows us to do anything. So he walks on water, and all this happened and more happened up to this point where we come into our story. In our story, our gospel story is in the book of Mark, and I ask that you join me in standing as we read God's word. And we read in Mark 8:27 through 38. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned him not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me in my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Thank you, Lord. Amen. Be seated, please. So Peter has now followed, and Jesus is at a point now where everybody wants to come to him. So Jesus decides he needs to bring them away from Jerusalem. He needs to bring them where he can talk to them and start teaching them. So what he does is he brings them out of his own country, out of their own country, to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. It was a pagan culture where there were many idols and people worshiped many gods. And this was under Roman rule. And it was there that Jesus asked, "Who do people say I am?" And I question today that I wonder if we ask many of our people, who do you say Jesus is? I pray that they don't give the responses of these people. You know, they said that John the Baptist, Elijah, maybe some other prophets. They were all great people, but they weren't God. It is only by God and knowing God and serving God that we follow him and have eternal life. So then Jesus asks a more important question, a question that we're asked almost every day. Who do you say I am? Because as we walk sometimes, I think we forget. I think we just as Peter's going to do here in the moment, is have ideas of our own. But Peter professes, "You are the Christ." If we look back into one of the other Gospels, we see that Jesus is excited. That this was a revelation from his Father to Peter. He's excited that someone knows this truth. And so here we're at a great high. Aren't we all at a great high when we can say, "You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." What an excitement in our soul, just as we are the moment he touches our heart. Is this our profession? And why is it important? That step, that moment, is when God changes us. He regenerates us and changes us to a point where we know him as Lord. And we cannot be a life giver unless we're a follower. A follower, we give our life to God. We also need to know that once we've had that step, God will open more truth to us. He'll provide more light to us. He'll help us understand himself better. I had a mentor that used to tell me all the time, and I wrote it down because she used to tell me all the time, said that the Lord will give us only a headlights view of what is before us. Otherwise, we will be overwhelmed or try to take a shortcut. And it's so true, isn't it? You know? And this is where we're headed with Peter. Peter was a spokesman for the disciples. So if Peter was saying it, we kind of assumed that they were present and they were understanding this conversation well and probably even has grabbed hold of that truth as well. So Jesus starts sharing. He starts opening a little more light to his disciples. And he tells them that I must suffer, be rejected, be killed, and raised in 3 days. Peter, oh my goodness, he says this is not going to happen. Okay, the shortcuts we were just talking about, this is not going to happen. Basically, I got plans for you, and it's not humiliation, it's not rejection, and it's not death. I just told you I'm going to follow you. Now we're going to go die. That's not going to happen. And that was the last thing he wanted Jesus to do. But Jesus told Peter, and it's funny, if you read the scripture, it says, and he looked at his disciples. His heart is for his people, for his disciples. He is thinking, I hear what Peter is saying, and maybe that would be an easier road, but I'm looking at those that need me more than anything. And then he rebukes Peter, and he tells him, he says, the same thing he told Satan in the wilderness when he was being tempted. He tells him the same thing, the same place you see it in Scripture. Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And the thing is that the thing of men is all he knows, really, at this point. A lot of time we think we should know a lot more, but it's in our walk that we gain light, we gain truth as we walk and understand better. So Jesus, I probably was very disappointed. I think if 1 minute he's at this big high of saying, you are the Christ, and the next minute he's saying, well, no, I got a better idea. You know, it's funny because we live that way. We want to do it our way. But he says that you must follow me. You must be a life giver. You must give your life for me. What Jesus was saying about the things of man and the things of God, and once we're regenerated, until we're sanctified, we still have our carnal nature. We still have these things within us that God still has to remove as we walk and we mature. And so Peter has this idea of rebellion. He has the Christ here. He wants to go and take down Rome, and he wants to get everybody in the right place. And instead, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is already hates so many people, Peter does. He hates so many people. He wants to go to war. But Jesus loves all men, even those who hate him. Peter is thinking selfishness. God's way is selflessness. Peter is rising up in his pride. And Jesus was planning on laying down his life in humility. Peter wanted a better life on this earth, but Jesus wanted to give us eternal life. Peter thought his way was best, but Jesus knew his Father's way was best. So Peter was still in the learning. Jesus didn't just set him aside. He continued to say, follow me, follow me. So Jesus speaks not only to the disciples, but he speaks to everyone. And when he does, he includes us as well. And he says, if anybody wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He says you have to be a life giver. You know, I don't like talking about this right now, but let's talk about dieting. I really don't like to, but I'm going to just stay behind this pulpit as much as possible. You know, and I say dieting because none of us have done one diet, okay? It's something that we do over and over again. And when we diet, we think of all these things we need to give up. You know, we set a start date and we set a goal. We think of all the things that, oh, well, we can't have this ice cream. We can't go to this place because there's food. There's all these things that we say we can't, and we got to deny ourselves. We usually choose what will hurt the least. We kind of manage it. We manage our diets, okay? We even go to a point where we suffer for a while and then we give a reward. We suffer for a while and give a reward. We don't just want to go and try to pace ourselves. It's very important for us to try to work it out. But all the time, we look and see, we think of how hard it is. Through the whole time, we think about every moment we don't eat something, every time we deny ourselves, we're thinking about that denial. We're thinking about that. How long will it take to reach our goal? We sometimes go to bed because we ate all our allowed calories and we can't stop thinking about food. We schedule our day so we won't face the extra temptations. We are frustrated with the scales because it shows little progress. Everything is affected when we are on a denying diet. Our whole focus is on what we can't have rather than what we can have. And we do the same when we try to follow by denying. We try to do certain things, things that we know that we will not struggle with. We try to accomplish a goal rather than live a life. We sometimes even go to bed defeated because the Spirit's power wasn't in it. We think about how hard it is to keep all these rules while we put on our denying hat. And we focus on what we need to stop doing rather than what we should be doing. We're in Lent right now, and it's kind of a time when we start giving up things. We deny self. And I understand. I do it as well. But we think of all the things that we think we can give up. It's funny, when Jesus is talking about denying, I don't think that's what he had in mind. I have a few here that people told me about. They deny sweets, they deny television. Facebook is a new one I've heard in the last couple of years, is that they went right off Facebook, and they fast a meal, which is really common. Many of us choose something that won't interfere with too much of our lives and routines. I wonder if that's what God was intending for us. And we are glad and maybe even proud when we've accomplished our goal, that we've made it through the Lenten season and we haven't failed. But then we also have some that feel defeated because they never reached that goal. The problem is that we become deniers instead of life givers. The problem is that even when we give up the candy, we're concentrating on that because we didn't go serve at a soup kitchen. It's when we say we're denying self so we can spend more time doing what God calls us to do, not just have it in that one sense, that one objective, to just deny oneself. He spoke that whole sentence, and sometimes we take this little word and we kind of step on it, and we'll be talking a little bit about that in a minute. And that's what we do. We just keep on following, denying ourselves. We try not to do certain things so that we know we won't struggle. We try to accomplish a goal rather than live a life. We sometimes even go to bed defeated, which is so sad. There's things that we just keep on trying to do, just like our rotation of diets. We just come back after. We come back to another denial. Well, I'll do this because I love you, Lord. And what God doesn't call us is to just deny ourselves. I wonder if our fallen Christ has changed to a life of denying things. I wonder if we have changed from being a life giver to just a life denier. I wonder if we heard Jesus say, deny yourself, and we got stuck there in that sentence. We never got to the next two things. He said, do this first, do next, and do the next. It was and, if we read the text. I wonder if maybe that for many of us, picking up our cross is not understood in our culture, that we should consider what Jesus is saying. When he says, pick up your cross, to anyone off the street, they don't understand what picking up the cross meant. But in first century Israel, they knew what that meant. They meant that they were going to go and be crucified. They knew that they were going to die for the cause. They knew that when Jesus was talking about deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, he was saying at that time, first century Israel, to follow him was going to cost lives. It wasn't a point of just denying something over here and then going on their way. It was the whole thing. And so I think part of why we don't go much further on that sentence is because we don't understand it. There was some time for a while that I didn't understand that middle section. Pick up our cross. What does that mean? And let's face it, we don't really have to pick up a cross here in the United States. Not even close to what they had to at this time when Jesus is talking to his disciples. To our death was what he was saying. To your death. But our faith is really challenged. And when Jesus was saying this about laying down our lives or picking up our cross, he was definitely telling what actually did happen, the martyrdom of all those disciples. I wonder sometimes if Jesus had made the statement a different way. Perhaps, follow me, and during that time you will need to bear your cross and deny yourself. We may still be focusing on following rather than denying. Denying oneself is part of the journey, as we see in the story with Peter. Peter came to a place on the journey where Jesus showed Peter the ways of God by sharing God's plan. And Peter now had to deny self, pick up his cross, and continue to follow. He was to be a life giver. The good news is God gives us everything we need to follow him. The good news is, just like Peter, the many times he failed, the many times he tried and fell, and Jesus just kept on coming back to him. Even when he went fishing, Jesus went and got him and told him to keep going forward. And he became one of the greatest disciples of Christ, apostles of Christ. It's rewarding and wonderful that we know that God continues to pursue us. From the time we're sitting on a beach all the way to his hands in heaven. And that in the meantime, we're never alone because we have the Holy Spirit to nudge us which way to go and how to do it. We are life givers, each one of you. You have given your life for the cause of Christ. You are Christians. You are little Christs. Well, isn't it really neat to know that Jesus is the greatest life giver? Not only did he lay his life down, but he comes back and gives us new life. He is the greatest of life givers, and he has chosen each one of us to participate. And even in our man's ways, in our falters, in all the things that we do poorly, he just picks us up and says, you know, no, that's not right. Let's go. Let's keep going. And we can't stay at that denying. We can't stay at that being the answer. I worry so much because it's a to-do that can be accomplished and not demanded by a holy God, but by an adjustment of man's ways. We need to say, Lord, what do you want of us? And how can I follow? And show me that way so I can be blessed because I know that I am interacting with the God of all creation. The one that made that sand and that water and that sky. And so simple there as a 5 or 6 year old child, but in amazement as a God, as a person that is a follower of Christ. He empowers us all. We are to be life givers, followers of Christ. It is in the journey as Jesus calls us to serve him and others that we are called to deny self and bear our cross if asked. We are to be life givers to the greatest of all life givers, Jesus.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.